These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself. But if the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You may be seated. So this is a very important concept that we are talking about today. The church is the pillar, the foundation, and the ground of truth. Now, there's a few questions I'm going to kind of lay out and try to explain today, or at least answer today. And the questions would be, is there such a thing as absolute truth? And if so, where does that truth come from? Whose responsibility is it to know the truth, to hold to the truth, and share the truth with others? So those are going to be the questions that I'm going to be answering today. The first thing I want you to notice is that the Word of God is the supreme source of truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true." Say, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. Okay, so we're going to find truth. If you want to know truth, you're going to find it in God's Word. So where do we go to discover truth? College? University? Social media? The news media? Google? Wikipedia? Where do we go to find truth? God's Word. Hebrews 6:18 says, "It is impossible for God to lie." So, let me ask you a question. Is it impossible for God? Can God do anything? He can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Is it possible for you to lie? You know, the first sin I remember the Holy Spirit convicting me of is a sin of lying. And I was visiting with a little four-year-old one day and sharing Christ with him. And in order to receive Christ, of course, you have to first know you're a sinner, right? In order to be forgiven of sin, you need to know that you're a sinner. So that's where I began with him. I said, and explained to him what sin was. And I said to him, "Have you ever sinned?" And tears started trickling down his face. He said, "I lied to my mom." All men are liars. You may not lie anymore. But if I were to ask you to show of hands, how many of you have ever lied? I'm sure that every hand in here would go up. Mine would go up a couple of times or more. All men are liars. 1 Samuel 15:29 says, "And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will he change his mind, for he is not human that he should change his mind." Have you ever changed your mind? So have you ever really been adamant about something and you knew for sure 100% that you were accurate about those things and then later on discovered that you were 100% wrong? So have I. Not recently. I'm kidding. Ask my wife. Anyway, Romans 3:4 says, "Indeed, Let God be true and every man a liar. Seldom do those who shout the loudest at, we'll say, a school board meeting know the truth or share the truth. Seldom, if ever, do those who have the greatest governmental power speak truth. And seldom do those who have the most likes on Facebook or social media speak truth. And the truth is, if you speak truth, you could be erased or canceled. Okay? That's the truth. Because a lot of people don't want to hear truth. Now, as your pastor, I am responsible to share truth with you. That's my responsibility as pastor. I have greater fear of not sharing truth with you than I do of sharing truth with you. As a matter of fact, there's a passage of Scripture in Jude that frightens me to no end. There's only one chapter in Jude. It's a tiny little book, but it's just packed with truth. This is what it reads in Jude chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. They didn't believe the truth. And the angels, who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. What great day is he talking about? He's talking about the great white throne judgment we read about in Revelation. So here's what we just read. So there were angels who left their first estate. There were angels who had an assignment in heaven, and they left their assignment. And they started doing their own things. They started doing what Satan wanted them to do. They got distracted from what God had said for them to do, and they began going sideways. And so God says that there are angels in darkness that have shackles on them. And when you get to heaven at the white throne judgment and you see all of these billions of people around the throne, you're going to see angels with shackles on them. And you're going to say, oh, I remember Pastor Brad telling me why they're shackled. Because they left their first estate. They did not stay connected with the Lord. And they began to follow Satan. But I want to look at this Greek word that is translated angel. It means a messenger, especially an angel, but by implication, a pastor. Okay? By implication, a pastor, an angel, a messenger. So, if I understand this correctly, and I'm confident I do, that there are pastors who probably began well, but because of maybe power, maybe influence, maybe monetary, they began to twist Scripture and make it say things that it didn't say. There are pastors who have begun to embrace the ideology of the culture rather than seeing the culture and interpreting culture through the view and through the lens of Scripture. They began to interpret Scripture through the lens of culture. And I believe with all my heart that there are going to be pastors that we're going to see at the white throne judgment in shackles. because they left their first estate, because they didn't keep their post, because they got distracted by the world, because of the fear of man rather than the fear of God. I believe that with all my heart. And that grieves me. It also frightens me. It also frightens me. When a pastor says, or a teacher says, well, God didn't really mean that, and tries to explain to you what he did mean by that, I have a fear for them. But do you know what? Not only the pastor is responsible for truth, but the church is responsible for upholding truth as well. We have been given Holy Scriptures. We have been given God's revealed word. You know, we complain about the news media not speaking truth, and rightly so. But did you know that God did not give them the revealed word? God did not give them inspired scriptures. He did not tell the news media that they are responsible for upholding truth. He did not tell the news media that they were the pillars of truth. Right? Now, he did not give the universities and the colleges and the elementary schools the responsibility for upholding truth. He didn't. Now, are they going to be responsible to God for not upholding truth? Of course they are. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that if you offend one of these little ones, talking about a child, or maybe even a child, immature child of God, if you offend one of these little ones, it's better for you to put an anchor on your neck and jump in the sea. That's what he says. So there are consequences, and God will judge. God will judge harshly. Is it the government's responsibility to be the pillar of truth?
No.
Will they be held accountable? Of course they will. But listen to me. God has commanded. God has given us the responsibility as church to be the pillars and the foundation for truth. And we need to take that responsibility very, very sincerely, because it's our responsibility. And even though you may not like to hear truth sometimes, and though you may not like to speak truth sometimes, we are responsible. The church is responsible for upholding truth. We are the pillar and the foundation for truth. And I'm going to share this with you. There have some, in some Christian circles, because some pastors have spoken about political issues, they have caught flack for speaking about political issues. But let me say this. When moral issues become political issues, a pastor has a responsibility to talk about those moral issues. Okay? So I don't care if you are, I don't care what political stream you're in, whether you're Democrat or Republican or anything in between, far left, far right, if we don't talk about moral issues, we're not speaking truth, and we are held responsible for that. You need to hear that. I want to recommend a book to you, especially parents with small children, or grandparents with small children. in their home, or maybe times you can have conversations with them, and this has to do with transgenderism, okay? Growing up, I would have never conceived of this being a problem. 10 years ago, I would have never conceived of this being a problem. So this book, let me get it, because I want to read it to you. It's called Johnny the Walrus. Have you ever heard of Johnny the Walrus? A couple of you, a few of you. I'm going to read it to you. And it deals with a tale of identity and imagination by Matt Walsh. Amazon employees are calling this children book that pushes back against the woke culture on gender problematic. And the reason is because the number one bestseller on Amazon. And I was listening to a lady who called into Amazon and told that she was just irate because Amazon was carrying the book, but they don't know what to do because it's the number one bestseller, right? Go, yeah. I can't show you the pictures, or I can, but you won't see them, okay? You're sitting too far back. So, Johnny's a boy with a big imagination. One day he's a dog, the next day he's a crustacean. One morning he came downstairs barking and clapping. Wood spoons for tusks and sock fins for flapping. "I'm Johnny the Walrus," he said with a roar. "The wood floor's my ocean, the carpet's my shore." Johnny's mom loves her son's make-believe time. "You're Johnny the Walrus, till you change your mind." But Johnny's mom's phone said it's not just pretend. Only a bigot would say that. How dare you offend? And there's some people with signs up. "Johnny is a real walrus. A stop anti-walrusism. Let Johnny transition. Human walruses are real walruses. Mommy was told to take John for a checkup. And the doctor says you'll need to eat worms and to put on gray makeup. The worms give you whiskers. The gray blends you in. And a simple procedure cuts feet and defends. It's gross eating worms, Mom. They're all so dang twitchy. Wood spoons kind of hurt, and the makeup is itchy." Deep down, Johnny's mom knew something was wrong. But she felt so much pressure, and she just went along. A couple of signs that protesters are holding up. "Marine mammals are people too. He, him, walrus." And literally, walrus phobia. The internet people knew just what to do, and Mommy was told to take John to the zoo. When Johnny arrived, the walruses grunted. "My mom's a real walrus. His growth was just stunted." The zookeeper thought, "What's she talking about?" "Ma'am, that's just a boy with wood spoons in his mouth. But if I believe that, they'll say that I'm phobic. Protecting your son, ma'am, is what's most heroic." At last, Johnny's mommy was able to see that Johnny's not what he's pretending to be. Now mommy ignores the mean things on her phone while Johnny pretends he's a bird flying home. The end. Everybody needs a book. The reason I wanted to read this, because this is really very real in our society. And the government is pushing against God's moral standards, pushing against God's gender identity. He's the one that gave us the gender that we have. Male, female, exactly. And honestly, this is not so far off. 4 or 5 years ago, I was visiting with a school superintendent near where we live. And he said that there were children who wanted to transition into a cat. They thought they were a cat. And they wanted a litter box put in the classroom. And the parents were pushing for this. Okay. It's sick and it's sad. They're calling them fuzzies. If you want to transition into an animal, you become a fuzzy. Isn't that just sick? So where does it end? Where does it end? Where does it end? And the thing is, we have to speak truth. We have to speak truth. This is the obligation of the church. Life and death depends on truth. And so I want to encourage you to tell your children truth. And when they come home from school with a sinful notion, then you need to sit down with them, and you need to talk to them, and you need to tell them what God's Word says. Not only do I, as a pastor, have responsibility to speak truth, not only does the church have responsibility to speak truth, but parents, you have a responsibility to speak truth as well. Listen to this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Listen, O parents, says Israel, but I'm going to insert parents because it's actually talking to parents in Israel. Listen, O parents, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands, wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Parents, don't just cave in. Don't just ignore what your children are saying and bringing home with them. Sit down with them. Have a conversation with them. Talk to them about godly things. So, if we are responsible as a pastor, if we're responsible as a church, if we're responsible as parents to speak truth, how do we do it so that they will hear? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. You might want to memorize this. It says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. We'll stop there. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Have you ever won an argument? Nobody wins an argument. So if you get in a quarreling situation, not even Jim. And he has the most amiable wife, but not even Jim. You know, when the Lord first showed me this passage of Scripture, I quarreled with him. I said, what if it's their fault? He said, Brett, if you get caught up in it and you get drawn into it, then you have to take responsibility for your part. I argued with him a little more, but a servant of the Lord must not argue. A lot of times I know you want to put your point across on Facebook and other media areas, but there's a way to do it. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. In humility, able to teach. Now, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Able to teach. Patient. You see where we're going with this? So, a lot of times when you're in a disagreement or when you're trying to get your point across, your emotions just get all snarled up. And when you speak out of emotion rather than out of heart, of love and concern, oftentimes it causes that person to be more given to whatever ideology that they've been shared with and they're beginning to embrace. But if we go on with this passage of Scripture, this is really incredible. It says, if you do these things in the right manner, perhaps God will grant them repentance, seeing that they have been taken captive by Satan to accomplish his will. Listen, here's the deal. When you are addressing individuals who have a ideology, a world ideology that's different than the biblical ideology, you're not speaking to them, you're speaking to the demons that have embraced them and that they're carrying. I guarantee you. Okay? And the demons don't want any more. They would rather you get caught up in your emotions and get angry and shout and try to shout people down than they would for you to speak in love and in gentleness. I was talking to young man. He is a young man to me, about 45 years old. Just last week, he was telling me his fiance is not a believer. She worships a lot of different things and gods and things, and he's trying to convince her that Jesus is the only way, and that's truth. But there's a way to do it, and it wasn't his way. Okay, I'll just put it that way. Because he said, I don't know if she will answer the phone again when I call her. Listen. There's a world that's dying and going to hell. And they have been taken captive by the enemy to do his will. Can you think of anybody you've seen on the news that's been taken captive by the enemy to do the enemy's will? You may have some neighbors that way. You may have family members that way. But you will not win them over by arguing with them. The only hope they have is if you approach them in gentleness and kindness and love, so that then perhaps God will grant them repentance, helping them to know the truth, so that they can escape the snare of the devil. The kindness of God that leads men to repentance. And I'll be honest with you, it's easy for me to get riled up. Okay? So I really have to check my emotions. I really have to check not only what I'm going to say, but how I'm going to say it. I have to pause to do it correctly because it doesn't come naturally to me. Okay? So church, parents, pastor, you, myself, are the pillar and the support of truth. But in order for people to hear it, you've got to speak it in the right manner. You got it? All right, good. So let me share this truth with you. God loves you with all his heart. And he sent Jesus to die for you so that he could remove your sins. Sharing that with the school children here one day. And one of the children said, I think he was about like a fourth grader, well, if Jesus died to take away my sins, why do my sins still have power over me? That is a good question, right? Man, we've got some deep thinkers. So I addressed that issue and talked to him and told him it's a process and, you know. Jesus died not just to remove your sin, he died to give you power over sin. And it is a process for most of us. But Jesus died for you. And when we turn from our sin and turn to Jesus, accepting him and accepting his sacrifice for us, Scripture says we're born into the kingdom of God. You become part of that family. So this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, before you leave here today, invite him into your heart. Turn from your sins. If you know somebody that is anti-Christian and you have opportunity to speak to them, speak truth and love. Speak truth and love. Father, we come before you today. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we as church, and no one else, is the support and the pillar, the foundation, and the ground of truth. I pray we take this responsibility to heart and share truth in the manner which can be received. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.